Hello and welcome to the first broadcast of the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM. Each week we're going to be discussing all things relating to downtown Las Vegas. Its rebirth, its failures, its successes, and the many, many interesting people working and living in a part of the city that, until very recently, has been probably mostly forgotten and shunned by the residents and tourists alike. I'm Joe Shaneman, a Las Vegas Sun reporter who also writes a regular column in Las Vegas Weekly. You can find me in both publications and online under the heading of Joe Downtown. If you have any ideas for future shows, please send me an email at joe.downtown@lasvegassun.com or at my Twitter account at joedowntownlv. As you listen, you might be hearing the bustle and tinkling of silverware and ceramics in the background. That's because we're taping this at Eat Restaurant on the corner of 7th Street and Carson Avenue in downtown Las Vegas. Come on down. The food is wonderful, the coffee's great, and the people are very interesting. Though this first show is being taped, we hope to soon be broadcasting live so we can take calls for comments and questions. Now, I won't always be talking to the movers and shakers of Las Vegas, but in the case of my first guest, he definitely fits into that category. Raised in Chicago's gritty South Side, Patrick Duffy has been a Las Vegas resident for 13 years. The former president of the Las Vegas Art Museum, current board member of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts, and current director, curator of the Life is Beautiful Art Odyssey, has taken a front row seat to all the cultural happenings, the comings and goings of Las Vegas for more than a decade. And for those who don't know, Life is Beautiful is a music, art, and food festival coming to downtown October 26th and 27th. Patrick's front row seat has meant that while he knows well of downtown's arts district, East Fremont is to him, like many of us, a relatively new discovery. Sometimes it even surprises myself, even though I've lived downtown for the last 13 years, all the things that are happening and occurring down here. Now, I'm not going to put what's happening down here in the miracle category, not yet. Anyhow, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 10, when we see wholesale changes to dozens and dozens of blocks of once empty buildings or weed-strewn lots or places where only prostitutes or drug dealers hung out, then maybe I'll add the miracle moniker to the designation of downtown. But what's happened in the last year or so is pretty astounding. In the last 13 to 14 months, at least 10 new businesses have sprouted up around East Fremont. Startup tech companies are moving in, and plans are being developed for a privately operated multimodal transportation system, while serious study is going into the idea of light rail or streetcars even on Maryland Parkway. In addition, earlier this summer, something very un-Vegas happened. More than 700 people contributed more than $200,000 to an online fundraising campaign to kickstart the renovation of historic Huntridge Theater, located at Maryland Parkway and Charleston Boulevard. That's the kind of effort you might imagine happening in some Midwest land-grant university town, but Las Vegas, it makes you wonder, what's happening here? How did we get here to a place where people are actually talking about community, planting roots? That's where we bring you in, Patrick. You've been here a long time. But before the last few years, did you really give much thought to the area, the place where we're sitting actually right now? This used to be a completely abandoned, boarded up space that only a year ago was turned into a restaurant. Did you care much about this area beyond even the arts district? What were your thoughts of this area, and what do you think's happening?
Well, I think let me choose the word that I just heard you say, care. And I think being a Las Vegan, you have to care about the entirety of the city. So specifically this geography, this longitude and latitude where we're at right now, it's new to me. And I'm sure it's new to a lot of other Las Vegas constituents. And did I care about the downtown area? Yes, because about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a little bit of a growth spurt along Main Street with galleries and such. And I was involved with that, interested in that, and really hoped, like many, that it would begin the impetus for something a little bit more art-centric. You know, times took its toll on Las Vegas, on many people's bank accounts, on many people's dreams and aspirations. But I think what we're seeing right now is a well-heeled, definitely well-thought-out process that has a defined outcome. And whether it's here at Eat, which, by the way, the food is fabulous here, or just walking around 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night in that Fremont East area to remember where we were 6 years ago is to really care where we're at now and definitely care where we are going to in the future.
Do you think this kind of thing is sustainable? A lot of people say, well, this is just the Zappos effect. It's Tony Hsieh, Downtown Project, spending their $350 million, and there just isn't enough of a draw here yet to keep this going. I mean, they have plans on the drawing board for businesses up and down Fremont Street for a good 10 blocks. Are there enough people? Is there enough interest in this area to keep it self-sustaining? That's the ultimate goal. I personally wonder that myself. I'm down here every day.
Well, I don't live down here like yourself, but the little that I've been down here, I think if we take a look at the names of Zappos, the names of Hsieh, the names of Downtown Projects, if we just see those names as buckets, we're going to, unfortunately, we're going to put ourselves in a position where we can't dream. We're just going to look in that bucket. So let's just take all of the names out. Let's put them all on a whiteboard and see exactly where we're going with that, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, and whoever's associated with it. It's Las Vegas. Whether it's a couple of businesses a year, a couple of galleries a year, a couple of tech ideas a year. You know, look where we've come from in the last 3 years. As I mentioned, I was fortunate to write an opinion for Boulevards Magazine, and you know, you realize that the promises made 3 years ago that we all heard about and we all wondered, well, guess what? They're here. Take a look.
Yeah, I think one of the things that astounds me is any interest by tech startups or tech companies in Las Vegas. I mean, it almost makes me laugh to think when my first year here 16 years ago, I covered a knifing, which ended up not being a murder, in a hotel that's since been torn down here. But when I followed the blood trail, I ended up in this nondescript little cinder block building. And inside, the owners, they invited me in because they saw me outside. And it turned out to be an online sex thing, you know, where you'd go on your computer and type something to somebody online who would be naked for you. And the owners at the time said it was the first of its kind. And so that I guess the technology has been here in some form, but it's a little different now.
Well, you know, whether you call that flash technology or flesh technology, I'm not sure. But I think as we move forward, let's face it, Joe, I am not a tech-savvy person at all. I am the first person you may know that does not have a Facebook account, does not have a Twitter account, does not have a LinkedIn account or anything, and I'm not going to.
Oh, shame on you. I'm kidding.
I'm not.
Now, let's move on here.
Yes.
So what is this? One of the bigger surprises to me was the announcement about a year ago of Life is Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of those things that you can't imagine happening downtown. I could totally see it on the Strip because they have the hotels, the capacity, space. So I'd always been wondering how they were going to do it here, and they're doing it by fencing off,
mm-hmm.
permits provided, 15 blocks of downtown Las Vegas, and for 2 days, I think they anticipate 70,000, maybe a few more people down here at five different stages for music. Mega bands like The Killers and Imagine Dragons, and then this a culinary village, a pop-up culinary village with famous chefs, and then this art component. I mean, I don't know. Does it take you by surprise? You seem, you know, like it's a matter of fact. Of course it's happening here, but what is your feeling about it?
You know, first of all, the title of the event, Life is Beautiful. You know, for God's sakes, isn't it? I mean, can we all really begin to think of it in that regard? And no, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't drank the Kool-Aid, so don't worry about it. But the fact of the matter is Las Vegas is due for an uptick. However we get there, whoever's responsible. We've got 2 million people that live here day in and day out. And then we have about 42 million people that come here via expressway and plane. Okay, all of those people local and all of those people tourist have curiosities. And those curiosities are going to take the locals into the Life is Beautiful and become part of that overall festival. And also a certain percentage of that 42 million, whoever is going to be here during that particular time, are going to be curious. They're going to want to know what's going on downtown. And that's important. Curiosity is what's going to keep downtown moving along. It's going to be total curiosity. People that want to all of a sudden partake and be part of a movement forward rather than a movement that's stagnant. And certainly we've had enough time of a movement going backwards. So let's look at Life is Beautiful for what it really is. It is a good life, and it's really showing itself, quite frankly, you know, firsthand right here in downtown Las Vegas.
Do you agree with me that none of this would have happened without the $350 million influx downtown? I mean, would casinos have ever even dreamed of doing something like a Life is Beautiful festival before this? Maybe now they're thinking about doing something along those lines. They're going to create a park, so-called park, somewhere on the Strip, which is an unusual concept for a casino, you know, canyon. What do you think?
I mean, well, the casinos have been giving Las Vegas Life is Beautiful for many, many years, and thank God for that. And they're still going to, whether it's to their tourists, to their high rollers, call them what you will. But now it's time that the city itself, whether that's a $350 million injection of fresh capital that's going into various, businesses and industries and ideas or not. You know, Las Vegas is always the entertainment capital of the world. And now it just so happens that we have somebody who's interested in really taking something that really was, rather, down on its luck. And the vision that this group has for people not to come down here and not to be curious and see really what's going on is really short-sighted. And I really welcome a lot of Las Vegans to get up off of their Barco loungers on a Friday or Saturday and take a trip down here. You will be amazed, as you have been amazed that our Strip, casinos and hotels have given us such entertainment for all of these years. Las Vegas is big enough to support both entertainment components.
I'm here at Eat Restaurant at 7th and Carson in downtown Las Vegas, and we're talking to Patrick Duffy, an art collector, philanthropist, Smith Center for the Performing Arts board member, and the current curator of the Art Odyssey for the upcoming Life is Beautiful Festival. Can you tell me a little bit about the art component of the Life is Beautiful? I understand music, I understand food. What art? What's the art component going to be about?
It's a natural component, Joe. First of all, you've got music to the ears so that everyone can hear. You've got food for the palate for everyone to taste. So why not have art for the eyes, for the soul, and really to create tomorrow? It's going to be a very, very interesting journey of art. And it's going to start from very young art producers, young art creators, and it's going to go through our academic system of grammar and high and university and college. And then it's going to go into, gallerists that we have here in Las Vegas who work very, very hard at really promoting the art. And I want them to be part of the overall art journey. And then we're going to go into some mid-career artists who maybe are not represented in galleries here, but certainly have something to say. And art is all about what the artist has to say. And in the end, was it worth it? And so we're going to give 21 rooms in this hotel the opportunity to create that journey all the way through to some of the most successful artists internationally. Artist by the name of William T. Wiley. I'm working very close with bringing some artists by the name of Mark DeSouvre, or at least works coming in from Mark DeSouvre, Peter Volkis, maybe even Chuck Close and Kiki Smith. Those are artists. Not going to bring them in, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to bring works from them in too so that we can really make that 360 degrees you know, a true tight circle where everyone in that circle can appreciate mid-level, can appreciate young artists, can appreciate where the journey is and how they're going to get to become that Chuck Close or that William T. Wiley.
Or maybe people could see themselves in their own artwork at certain points.
Look into the future. This is what you have to look forward to.
That sounds real interesting. I want to go back to the casinos real briefly here. You know, Patrick, the belief we minions out here have are that the casinos will do anything possible to keep customers from leaving their premises. So in a casino, you don't find clocks. Trying to get through one of the places to find an exit is like a lab rat in its first maze. The rumor is that they've always pumped in oxygen to keep you alert and happy, so you never want to leave the place. So I've been thinking about what's happening downtown, and I'm trying to imagine what the Wynns and the Adelsons of the world think. And I can't imagine they like what's happening down here because it's potentially taking away their slot coin machine giving customers. Now, you know people in those capacities. Do you know what they're saying, or what do you think they should be thinking if you don't know what they're saying?
Personally, as I look up and down the strip, just sitting right here, and I, of course, can't speak for Mr. Wynn or Mr. Adelson or Mr. Murren or Mr. Loveman, Mr. Boyd. But definitely, I think there is interested in what's going on. They're as interested in what's going on in downtown Las Vegas as anyone else. And I also would think that they know that the people that are coming into their casinos, whether it's for food, entertainment, gambling, relaxation, whatever experience they're coming in for, they know that people nowadays are curious. They want to arrive in Las Vegas and they want to test out their curiosities. And one of those curiosities is definitely going to be downtown Las Vegas. And I think, and I speak for them, but I think that they probably embrace it more than we realize.
I still don't quite understand that. Why?
Why?
You can't
not?
Even find a place to sit on the strip because they don't want you outside the casinos. Why would they want people, a tourist, a customer coming downtown and taking, you know, a whole day away from their casino?
Well, if they went out to Red Rock, if they went to Grand Canyon, if they just walked up and down the strip, doesn't mean that they're spending money in their original destination. So people are going to go to Fashion Show Mall. People are going to go shopping in their retail arcades. That's taking money essentially away from, because the retail arcades are no longer owned by the casinos.
True.
So whether they're shopping or whether they're walking up and down the strip, curiosity will be curiosity, and that curiosity will in fact mean that ladies and gentlemen that come to Las Vegas to vacation, you know, are going to be curious about downtown. And I think what we really should do is take a look at the symbiosis of downtown and the strip and begin to really align ourselves and create arrangements and create synergies that would give the entertainment component, you know, a boost in both areas. It's not going to take out a great deal of money from the Venetian or from the Wynn. Not at all. Okay? And it's not going to put a great deal of money in downtown. But curiosities are such, Joe, that when someone from Pensacola, Florida, arrives at the Venetian, and by the time they get over the ooh and ah of that beautiful, beautiful, you know, casino, their curiosity is going to want to go outside. And when they go outside and they go to downtown, they're going to go back to Pensacola and they're going to talk about downtown just as much as they're going to talk about the Venetian. In other words, they're going to talk about Las Vegas and the Las Vegas experience.
Now, on the flip side of that, some people don't want tourists downtown. Fremont East, as originally sort of configured or thought of by some of the original business operators down there, was strictly locals. You don't find, for instance, a very large sign on the downtown cocktail room. That's by design, to not attract a lot of the tourists, but to make it more of a locals type place. I just wonder, you know, and I've written about this in the past, do we have enough people downtown to support what's down here? Are they going to have to start advertising to get the tourists down here to support the growing number of businesses? And is that going to defeat the purpose of it, of the ultimate vision of it becoming this nice, State Street-esque place for locals to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to become a mini strip? I don't know.
Well, I think the number of people perhaps living downtown, you know, might limit the businesses downtown from really flourishing. So that's when you, to me at least, that's when you reach out to those other 2 million constituents who, again, live here and are curious about what's going on. The more we give them reasons, the more we give them experiences downtown and all through Las Vegas, whether it's Red Rock or wherever, the more we're going to intrigue, the more we're going to keep those curiosities of our 2 million people, you know, buzzing about the city. I know myself, I don't find myself on the strip often, probably often enough, I should, you know. But I have found it interesting, the dynamics and the energies in the downtown area. It kind of reminds me of certain parts of Chicago back in the 70s and back in the 80s. There's an energy.
Okay, yeah. Now, I got to ask you this. I don't know anything about your wealth or your finances, but I assume you're a man of some wealth and you could go anywhere in the world and probably live there. Now, before you answer this, I want to tell you about something you said to me recently. You were talking about how you always felt welcomed in Las Vegas, that other cities you've been to have had people who have liked you, but you've never felt as embraced as you felt here in Las Vegas and immediately accepted, that you can't get that feeling even in a place like Madison, Wisconsin, which is where I'm from. And I thought about that for a long time afterwards, and I sort of get an idea of what you mean, but give me, what is it about Vegas, and particularly downtown Las Vegas, that gives you that feel of welcome, or that you're part of the community? Like, you weren't just saying it took years, you felt immediately a part of what's going on here.
Joe, what I did say to you, I remember, is that I'm the richest person in Las Vegas, but that wasn't summing up my net worth. What that really was, I feel that I'm probably the most wealthiest person in Las Vegas because I have, without doubt, a group of friends in this city that no matter where I travel to in the world, and I do a lot of traveling, I always look forward to coming home. And I get people that ask me whether I'm on a plane or whether I'm in Milan or London or wherever, what's your favorite place? And my answer is home. Where's my home? My home is Las Vegas. And because when I arrive in Las Vegas, there's just something about the city that reaches out and it embraces me. It's my friends. It's maybe the fact that it's a city that I've certainly invested in and have invested the rest of my life in. And the return on that investment is beautiful.
So you don't... When people ask you where you're from, you don't say, oh, I'm from Chicago, but I live in Vegas. You say, I'm from Vegas.
Oh, I just say I'm from Las Vegas. And I never say Vegas.
Oh, that's...
I never say Vegas.
Faux pas on my part.
I think that's... I just do not like that term. It's so flippant. Mine is always Las Vegas. Where do you live at? Las Vegas. Because if I lived in Los Angeles, I wouldn't say, where do you live at? Angeles. So...
You'd say L.A.
I wouldn't say L.A. I say Los Angeles, right. Properly.
Well, I stand corrected. I'll never call it Vegas again. that brings up something else I wanted to talk to you about. A week or two ago, you talked at length with me about this, and I was mentioning I write exclusively about downtown. Maybe a day passes, I don't know, but rarely a day passes when somebody doesn't email me or call me or something ripping into what's happening downtown. Saying, you know, it's the evil of the corporation, and admittedly, I think there is some gentrification happening, but I want your view about it.
You know, anyone that says there isn't gentrification is smoking something I gave up, you know, before I went to Betty Ford. I mean, come on. You can put whatever brand you want, you can put whatever words you want, you know. And the interesting thing is, Joe, everyone is at the right out of the gate wants to complain. Why are they complaining? What are they complaining about? And in their complaint, do they have any, you know, any rational thought in that complaint? And in that complaint, is there a solution involved also? Okay? And I've read on blogs and I've read online all of these profound negative people. And you know something? In all of their writing, I see no solutions. I pity that individual as they move forward in their life, that all they have to do really is to take a look at the negative parts of something that maybe is really rather successful. Was it because they weren't part of the original success? They missed out. Pity. Guess what? Become part of it. There's a lot of different moving parts that a person can become part of, can become invested in, and become enjoying their life instead of sitting back and writing criticisms. You know, the world is full of criticisms. I personally think it's, you know, highly overrated. Critics are highly overrated, okay? And really, what they have in the end is nothing.
Well, a well-thought-out criticism, I really do personally appreciate. Some of the things we get are much less than that. I'll leave it at that. I'm here with Patrick Duffy, the art curator of the Art Odyssey for the Life is Beautiful Festival, which is coming up October 26th and 27th, which it's going to be a 15-block celebration in downtown of music, food, and art. It's going to be right across the street from where we're at now, which is Eat Restaurant at 7th and Carson Avenue. Formerly, by the way, this general area used to be a hub of prostitution, I'd say like 15 years ago. This is where street prostitution flourished, mostly in downtown Vegas. I'm just telling you, rarely would you find that here. I don't know if you'd ever find that in this area right now. It's changed.
I feel
so
very
much.
Comfortable here, quite frankly.
Where do you normally hang out? And what'd you go to Betty Ford for?
What I go to Betty Ford for? It was April. It was a great time to get a tan for 28 days.
Oh, nice. I wish I could.
Hard living in Chicago.
So we've been talking here with Patrick Duffy, and we're going to wrap it up for now. This has been the inaugural show of the... We're going to wrap it up right now. This has been the inaugural broadcast of the Joe Downtown Show on KUNV 91.5 FM, broadcast to you from Eat Restaurant in downtown Las Vegas. Patrick, I want to thank you very much for coming down here. I know your busy schedule, or... I mean, I think that's you wealthy guys have busy schedules.
Joe, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be, I think this is the first time I could ever be considered part of anything inaugural, so I'm very flattered. Thank you very much and for your confidence and your openness in knowing that God knows what's going to come from, you know, my mouth in answering your questions.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.